welcome to Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. We are 98 days away from the opening ceremonies of the Olympics in Paris, and as of now, the plan is still to hold the opening event on the Seine River. In a briefing this week, the Paris Games director said they anticipate a four-hour-long ceremony with 205 delegations parading down the river on more than 80 boats. About 320,000 fans are expected to line up behind security barricades on the embankment. The athletes will disembark those boats for a ceremony under the Eiffel Tower. Now, French President Emmanuel Macron did hint this week that there is a plan B in the works if the security threat becomes too high, though organizers did not seem to echo that as an option. The U.S. Justice Department will reportedly pay $100 million to 100 victims of Dr. Larry Nassar over the FBI's failed investigation of the former Team USA and Michigan State University doctor. Once completed, that will end the litigation and all of the investigations related to Dr. Nassar. There's already been a $380 million settlement with both USA Gymnastics and the USOPC, and another $500 million settlement with Michigan State University. Olympians Simone Biles, Allie Raisman, and Michaela Maroney are reportedly part of this latest settlement. Nassar is serving out the rest of his life behind bars for allegedly sexually assaulting dozens of athletes while a doctor over several decades. There's been some pushback on Nike's 2024 Team USA track and field uniforms, which were revealed by Citrus Magazine this week, particularly the women's uniform, which is said to be skimpy and revealing, more so than in previous years. Nike released a statement saying the unis are the most athlete-informed, data-driven, and visually unified the company has ever produced. Each kit was inspired by the, quote, distinct identities and diverse communities each country and sport represent, end quote. There is some backlash upon news this week that World Athletics will pay $50,000 for each track and field gold medal at the Paris Olympics. The pushback, though, isn't from athletes who would love to see that expanded to other sports as well, but organizations like the Association of Summer Olympic International Federations say that the move undermines the values and uniqueness of the Games. All American athletes do get paid for winning medals at the Games, $37,500 for gold, $22,500 for silver, and $15,000 for bronze. The U.S. Olympic wrestling trials are underway in Pennsylvania this weekend. Only one wrestler per weight class is eligible to make Team USA, so these are some tense matches. The U.S. men's basketball roster has been announced. Of the 12 players named, seven previously have won gold. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo, Jason Tatum, and Drew Holiday. Five are newbies to the Olympic scene, including Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, and Kawhi Leonard. My next star colleague, Alyssa Orange, had a chance to sit down with the manager of Team USA's 5-on-5 men's team, Grant Hill, following the announcement of the roster.
Putting this team together, obviously a lot goes into that, but why do you feel like this group of guys that you have right now is the best fit for this team?
Yeah, no, it was tough because there are so many incredibly talented players in the U.S. Who wanted to play. But we had to understand first and foremost that the FIBA game, which is played in the Olympics, is very different than the NBA game. And we wanted guys whose games would resonate on that level and on that stage. We also wanted guys that had experience in the FIBA game or have experienced winning before at a high level. And then it's like a puzzle, you know. You got to blend the talents and the skill sets and the personalities. And so through a lot of, you know, hard work and being very thoughtful and very intentional about it, we're excited. You know, we're excited about this group. Obviously, you have some, you know, iconic names on this roster, but you have some high-level character guys. Yeah. And you have guys that understand what this is all about, and all they care about is winning. They don't care who gets the glory, who's the leading scorer, who gets the most minutes. It's about one thing and one thing only, and that's winning a gold medal.
And so Team USA means so much more and something different than wearing your NBA team across your chest.
It does. I mean, whether you play in college and you represent your school, or you play in the NBA and you represent your team and your city, This is bigger. You're representing your country, and you put aside all the rivalries and whatnot, and you come together as one going against the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And I experienced that in '96 as an athlete, and we have seven former or guys who've experienced and won Olympic gold medals for us. And then so they understand that feeling and what that's about, and they want to feel it again and be a part of it. So it's special.
Why do you still love it? Why do you still do this and stay involved?
You know, it's funny when it comes to basketball and it comes to the Olympics. And I think back to 1984, mm-hmm. and I was 11 years old. So around the time that I was falling in love with basketball, and I remember the Olympic Games in 1984 in Los Angeles, and that Olympic basketball team coached by the late Bobby Knight, Michael Jordan, Pat Ewing, Chris Mullin, all these legends were on that team, and just being mesmerized by watching them and watching them win a gold medal and dreaming, like, wow, as a kid, like, I'd love to experience that one day, and I'd love to hopefully have that happen. And then 12 years later, to be an Olympic athlete and to win a gold medal in 96, it's like, wow, what a dream come true. And then many, many years later, I'm dating myself, but to keep dreaming, to now be in a leadership role and to have the responsibility of putting together this team that I dreamed about when I was 11 years old. So to be able to see it and to have this really unique relationship with USA Basketball and the Olympics, from the standpoint as a kid and as a fan, to as actually a participant as a player, and then now in a leadership role, to me, that's why, you know, that's why I keep doing it. And I'm just so grateful and just sort of like, wow, how lucky am I to be in this role that I'm in now.
Three great perspectives. I want to ask you about your female counterparts, because that game continues to grow.
Yeah.
But you guys supporting them and they support you and watching them grow. What is that like from your seat to see that?
I love it. You know, I think even going back in 1996, spending so much time with the women's team and the Lisa Leslies and Dawn Staley and Rebecca Lobo and Cheryl Swoops, and they were there supporting us, and we were there like their biggest cheerleaders. And so we, to see obviously what they did, but then to see how the game is now sort of taking off, almost at an inflection point, I think, where the rest, the audience, the fans are now really seeing the excellence that these women have had for many, many years. It's exciting for them. It's exciting for just basketball in general. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see who's selected and what that team will look like. And we'll be on the journey together. We'll be in the hotel. We'll be, watching and supporting one another. And it'll be a big, big thrill for all of us. And hopefully we both can bring back gold medals and represent our country the best we can.
I do want to point out we're still 3 months out from the games, and we do have the NBA playoffs coming up. So based on players' health, there could still potentially be a roster shift or two. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Quest for Gold. We are 3 months out from the Paris games. Things are really starting to ramp up. We'll continue to stay on top of the stories and speak to athletes as we march closer and closer to the opening ceremonies. I'm Ryan Burr. We'll see you next week.